The sun shall never set on so glorious a human achievement. Let freedom reign. God bless Africa.
I am an African. I owe my being to the hills and the valleys, the mountains and the glades, the rivers, the deserts, the trees, the flowers, the seas, and the ever-changing seasons that define the face of our native land.
There is a place for all South Africans, black and white. It is a partnership.
This is now the time where we should honor the memory of Nelson Mandela to build a new, better South Africa for all our people. Now is the time.
My name is Thabo Tshabalala. I turned 30 in 2024, and on the 27th of April, it will be 30 years since the dawn of democracy. Has our country benefited from this democracy over the last 30 years? Join me as I speak to South Africans of all stripes, from the most powerful to the everyday average citizens. This is a Times Live original podcast, 30 Years of Democracy. Good day, good evening, good morning, good afternoon, good night, whatever it is, whatever time of the day it is, welcome to the 30 Years of Democracy podcast. And today we are joined by two activists, Stephen Ngonyeni and Dibelo Lentswane, who are both members of the Activate Change Drivers, which is a youth network for the youth.
I am Dibelo Lentswane. I'm currently working at Activate Change Drivers, which is a youth development organization. I'm working within the civic education portfolio, which essentially works on cultivating active citizenry in communities across South Africa. And I grew up in a rural village, small, literally encircled by mountains, quite remote from what you'd say is the developed part of the province. And I spent most of my formative years there. And I grew up basically around the administration of President Thabo Mbeki and Jacob Zuma, and moved to Johannesburg to study journalism, currently studying law. Super interested in civic duties, and I have passion for democracy and democracy work and constitutionalism.
And you, Stephen, your childhood, just a brief summary of where you grew up.
Yeah, sure. So my name is Stephen Ngonyeni. I am a PR counselor in City of Johannesburg under Action SA, and I'm also an Activate Change driver. So yeah, where did Stephen grow up? Stephen grew up in, well, was born in Sebokeng, and then grew up in and around Johannesburg. So I always say that my childhood was really characterized by a lot of moving, you know, kind of single parent situation. So there was a lot of moving. So, whether it's Soweto, you know, I've left Soweto, Protea Clan, in the inner city, in the southern suburbs of Johannesburg. So it's really just a mixture of, you know, different environments. And experiences. So yeah.
I'm assuming you're also born free. Sorry to interject there.
No, I'm a millennial. I'm a millennial, 1986 to be specific. I don't hide that. Yeah, a little bit, you know, above, but I still qualify to be youth. If you see me,
yeah, I will see a young person. And then Dibelo, when did you realize that there is this history of our country that most black people, you know, sometimes are afraid to talk of? Sometimes when they think of that moment, they just get traumatized. When did you realize that actually we come out of this era in our country? As you say, you grew up in the Mbeki Zuma administration era. When did you realize that we're coming out of this dark time as a country?
I think the introduction into the South African struggle to get into the democratic dispensation was introduced in an euphoric way. So it was during the times where we're celebrating the gains of democracy. We are collectively looking forward to what will become of the new South Africa. So it was that of victory. And of a sense of compatriotism. Even, you know, when you're in primary during the Mbeki administration, there was a lot of camaraderie that is cultivated amongst Black people, and this picture or this perception of a forming or a kind of like a a rainbow nation that is being formed. But of course, now with the benefit of time, and benefit of hindsight, we know that it wasn't all that. But I think at the time, it was a necessary kind of social cohesion that was being built around that time. And I think the introduction into that was from a point of view of victory that the South African ANC at the time managed to dismantle the shackles of apartheid. So that was more of, because you are born into this freedom, it's an introduction to the struggle and the reality of what the struggle or the national conflict was in South Africa is introduced from the lens of a victor.
And yourself, Stephen, I mean, as someone who, sorry to bring in your age, someone who was born in 1986, clearly by the time we headed into the 90s, I think your eyes started waking up. And what was your experience like? When did you first see that actually this is where my country is and this is where my country comes from?
So, you know, as a millennial, you know, born in that era, we were basically born in this transition period where we didn't quite experience apartheid, right? But we were not, you know, we were not free as yet. It was just that period, you know what I mean? And I remember as a young boy, look, I was just like any other kid doing what kids do. So I can't say that I have a clear understanding of what was going on 94. I think 1994, I should have been, how's my maths, guys? Like 8 years old, right?
Old, you were eight.
Yeah. Yeah, I should, you know, 8 years old. But, you know, you're just a kid in South Africa. You are playing as you should. You're going to school as you should. So that's how I remember it. At 8 years old, I wouldn't really be able to recall or to draw on any feelings, you know, around democracy or even the understanding of it. But there was a lot of euphoria, as Dibelo had, you know, had rightly pointed out, which is what I do remember. I do remember bombings in Shell House, for example. I do remember some of the unrest and the political fights, especially in this, you know, in this transition period of, you know, handing over from the previous administration to the new one. So there was a lot of that. I do remember a little bit of that.
So you are probably, sorry to interject again, you are probably the first cohort to go into school with, and as I'm saying, white people, I'm sure, but you couldn't tell the difference because that's, you were introduced into that system and you were never explained. I guess you were never explained to Guti, you are one of the first cohorts to actually go into school with white individuals. I'm sure like maybe your parents, didn't they say anything to you like, my child, you'll be fine, or, you know, don't you remember any of that?
No, not necessarily. I mean, my mother, you know, single mother, she didn't really speak, you know, to me in terms of, you know, with regards to that. However, but what I do remember is that, you know, that period of my schooling was this transitionary period. So I went to Terfontein Primary, which, you know, before it became Terfontein Primary, it was actually Terfontein Laar School. Right.
Yeah.
So you could see some of the remnants of that old system and what we call, multiracial, or Model C schools, where we were now, you know, going to school with, white kids, whether of English origin or of Bura origin. But it, for me, you know, we were just kids. You know, it was Rainbow Nation. It was fine. We were going to school, so it didn't sink in.
And then now speaking about this democracy that we kind of celebrating this year, to you, Tibello, what does democracy actually mean? You know, if you were to explain it, what does it mean to you?
I think, let's just start maybe the technical definition of it. Just looking at how democracy as a system of governance functions and work. I think democracy in that understanding means that the people themselves have the power to decide, have the deciding power in how they can govern themselves or how they can essentially run their country. They are the main custodians of their country and they have that power. Democracy and its principles allows and enables people to have vested power in how they run the country or how the country is governed, essentially. So that's my understanding.
And for you personally, what does it mean for you let's take away from the technicalities, but now let's focus on Tibello as a person. What does this mean for you as a young South African?
I guess the question is referring to just my firsthand experience of, you know, the democracy as a system of governance and how I've got to interact with it as a person. I think I would say not connecting to the first definition that I just mentioned, not connecting to people being empowered or I as an individual, as a citizen being empowered or having power to shift and to make decisions and to impact policy, etc. I haven't had that personal experience of being that citizen where I can make correlations between my participation in democratic processes and the outcome that I will directly interface with in my communities. So I haven't made that connection. There is a disconnect between what I understand to be democracy and the lived experiences in my communities and even more so in my own personal life.
And just to add on to what you're saying, why do you think there is this disconnect between the two?
I think an easy one would be to say not having enough, civic education so that people understand that definition of democracy and understand what democracy mean and how it functions and therefore assimilate with the principles of democracy so that they participate as informed citizens. But I think that is a complex one that we can't reduce to just lack of information or information gaps in terms of civic education. I think there's been a lot of failures of ensuring that people experience the benefits or the outcomes of democracy. There's a lot of issues that went into that. We can name the endless list of, you know, corruption or maladministration, state capture. There's a lot of, there's a plethora of reasons to put that on.
Is, if I can put it.
Yes. Yes, I think that there's the Afrobarometer did this survey where they kind of asked people, or they were trying to investigate what people think of the state of democracy. And what came out of that is that the decries of the public or people on democracy or on the state of democracy is not necessarily an indictment on democracy itself as a system of governance, but on the failure to see or experience what is supposed to be the outcomes of democracy. So when people often are having a decry on the state of democracy or distrust in democracy or their dissolutions on the process of democracy, they are not necessarily indicting democracy itself as a system of governance, but the outcome or what is supposed to be the fruits of democracy that they are not experiencing in their communities. There's high unemployment in South Africa, poor service delivery. Those are the things that are supposed to be outcomes of people having a say in how they would like to experience democracy or like to, the quality of their lives to be. So yeah, I think that's the essentially what I've noted to be an issue, even with the work that we've done with communities, that people are not necessarily disillusioned with democracy as a system of governance, but what is the failure of democracy, or just not experiencing what the outcomes of that democracy.
And you, Stephen, like how would you define democracy to anyone if anyone were to come and ask you, like, what is democracy?
Yeah, so my definition of democracy is, as cliche as it sounds, it's, you know, for the people, by the people. I usually draw inferences from our neighbors and some other countries that have, you know, more of an autocratic or a dictatorship system, you know. So in South Africa, we have, you know, these freedoms, and that's what I tie it to. I also tie democracy to a freedom, you know, a freedom to freedom of movement, freedom of expression, freedom, you know, to be economically active, and also decide who do we want to see governing us, who do we want to see representing us. Whether it's at a local or a provincial or at a national level. So that's what democracy means for me.
And just to bring into what Tibello was saying, where do you think the failures came in? Because, you know, she mentions things like, you know, people are not benefiting because of what the people that we have given power are doing. Where do you think it all started falling apart with this democracy?
Yeah, so for me, look, I echo the same sentiments. I feel that a proper handover was not really made, in that you come from an apartheid regime,
yes,
which had set up infrastructure, which had set up entities or that we know as state-owned entities. So we inherited land, we inherited government, we inherited the universities, you name it, right? Yes. And we were given this, and then we were you know, basically now told to say, okay, there it is, fly with it, you know? And I'm not saying that, freedom was handed over on a silver platter. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying that we inherited this, you know, the government, and we inherited the country and everything else with it, right? And maybe at some point we just didn't really know what to do with it. We're still trying to find our feet. There were still some teething issues, trying to set up the government, trying to set up systems, trying to set up departments, trying to set up, you know, whether are we a socialist state, are we a capitalist state, and also deal.
Even the constitution, setting up the constitution also there was a bit of its own issues, yeah.
Yes, our founding documents, absolutely. So there was that period, which also takes time in itself, right? And we still need to speak to the healing, which is a very big one, the healing of those that were oppressed. How do we come out of it, you know, stronger, without having bad grudges, without starting a civil war? So there was a lot happening. So we had to, you know, in some sense, we had to go back a little bit in order to go forward. And I think because of this transitionary period, this is where we kind of may have lost it a little bit, simply because of the teething issue.
Tibello, so then the question is, just to you, Tibello, what is there to celebrate in 2024, since now we're marking 30 years? But what is the 30 years? What are we actually celebrating? Should we even be celebrating, given all these issues that you both have mentioned, you know?
Yeah, I think even though there's admittedly we're sitting on a list of things that we can be so dissatisfied with, including, like, you've both discussed, the maladministration of, you know, the ruling party or the government, and there's so many issues that we're sitting with that it can obliterate our ability to celebrate. But I think there is something to celebrate. We have to just look at, and to answer that question, we have to look at, and which is an important one to consider, the recent history of South Africa, and to answer the fundamental question of what was the nature of the national conflict that South Africa was sitting at or was struggling against, and what was the core of the South African struggle. The main fight was to restore the right to citizenship to the South African majority at the time. That would be the blacks and other groupings that were denied the right to have citizenship in South Africa based on the color of their skin. And when you look at those strides, you look at the constitution, which is the best in the world, and it is metaphorically the best in the world. You look at the laws and the policies, and so there's so much to celebrate. We have to celebrate what is here to enable the picture of, or the reimagined form of democracy that young people now can work on. We can celebrate the freedom to even express, to have this kind of a discourse. We have to celebrate the freedom that that was embedded in Stephen's definition of democracy. So there's so much to celebrate, and especially when you can draw kind of parallels and comparisons between South African democracy and the constitution and the law with other countries. We are far ahead, and we have to do away with facile statements that are not quite substantial. We have to be careful to care about accurate information when we take accountability as citizens and we take a stand of responsibility to hold government accountable and leadership to account as we should. We have to also carry the responsibility to care about facts, to care about the truth, and do away, like I said, with facile sentiments, and that can, yeah. So it's a very it's not as simple as saying there's nothing to celebrate. And I think, we acknowledge that we have come a long way. 30 years, of course, is a long time to have not been in a place where most people, the majority of people in South Africa, can enjoy the rights that are in the constitution of South Africa, such as, you know, the right to shelter, to have access to health, good quality health. There is claimable rights in the constitution that allows for those processes to take place. And that's where the point of celebration for me lies.
And just to develop before I get to my last question, how important is politics in democracy? For a young person to understand how the two collaborate, how the two, go hand in hand, how they are both in the same WhatsApp group?
I think democracy is inextricably linked to politics, and most of the times the processes of democracy can be mired in politics. So you have to be interested in politics, especially because we have a model of democracy in South Africa that is representative and participatory democracy, which means that you elect your leaders through political parties of your choice that resonate with you and whose policies and party manifestos resonate with you as a person, as a citizen. So it's very important to not only understand how they correlate, but also understand how you navigate the participatory processes and channels. You have to interact with each political party's manifesto, what they stand for, so that you make an informed decision when you vote, when you participate in other local government structures and processes, such as, you know, the IDP. You have to participate from that informed space of understanding what your choices is based on, and therefore going even further than that, understanding then the processes of democracy and how you can be directly involved to hold those politicians or the politics accountable, to be directly involved in interacting with politics so that they are not in a way of democracy realizing the kind of a world or change you would like to see in your community.
And before I get to my last question, Stephen, I know you and Dibelo are currently busy with a campaign called We Are Voting. The importance of young people going to vote, I want you guys to highlight that to whoever's listening, to whoever young person, so that they walk away listening to this episode knowing that I have to go vote. Just highlight the importance of actually casting your ballot this year during the elections.
Yeah, so we did speak about representation. If you want to see young people in parliament, you are that young person. If you want to see young people in government representing your issues, pushing and driving the issues that you have. You are that young person. If not, then you can elect somebody who looks like you, you know, or who resembles you, or who you think is going to represent your interests. Again, young people, the youth, they make up majority of this country's population. It is within us to ensure ukuthi we protect this country and its democracy, and we create a legacy for generations to come, whether it's our younger sisters or children, if we have young children, and for everybody else in this country. So young people need to realize the power that they have. Go and mark, go and make your vote so that you can participate in the democracy. And it's such a beautiful feeling once you have voted, once you have done something to that effect. You feel like you've done something, you know, really good and monumental and very important. So it's not just about sitting wherever you're sitting, you know, with all the problems. Data is expensive and all of those things. I do understand there are many challenges with unemployed graduates and. But however, the only way to change the dispensation and the trajectory that the country is moving on right now is if we get up and we take a stand. Thank you.
And final question to both of you. Do you guys have hope? We are a young democracy. 30 years is fairly young, some people would say. Is there hope that in the next 30 years, we will be talking a different situation as three, if we do talk in the next 30 years? Is there hope that things will get better?
I think I'll even throw the question back to you and everybody that we are the ones who are supposed to actually all collectively answer that question as citizens. Just again, what is democracy? Is people having a say and the power in the outcomes of, you know, how they are governed and government processes. So we as the people, we have to carry that responsibility and understand that how things are going to be in 30 years' time is dependent on us and how we interact with democracy and how we reimagine democracy, how we participate in democracy, and how we hold government, I would say government officials or any administration accountable to what we have elected them to do. So the onus is on us. It's not something that is hard to think around. We have to have that answer as citizens. We have a responsibility to collectively know what we want and where we want to be headed, and take that responsibility through voting. Who do we trust to then make that vision or that picture a reality? So we have to answer that.
Mm. Stephen?
Yeah, no, absolutely. There is hope, you know, and this is the beauty about democracy, in that you can go out there and elect whichever individual or whichever party that you want to elect. There is hope as long as young people have not given up. There is hope as long as young people understand the power that they have in order to shift the dynamic right now and to do something about the things that are happening that they don't like currently. So absolutely, there is hope. We are a very dynamic, we're very resilient, we're very creative young people. You know, you just need to go onto TikTok to see how creative young people are, you know. So we are very dynamic, we are creative. But we just need to step up to the plate. And I do have 100% faith and belief that young people can actually, you know, grab the bull by its horns and ensure that they drive this democracy and they drive the country in a direction that they want it to go.
There you have it. It seems like 2024 will be our 1994. Whoever's listening, make the right decision come election day. I hope you are registered to vote. It's yet to be seen what will happen. I've been your host, Thabo Tshabalala, and this has been the 30 Years of Democracy podcast.